Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
For word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up today, how does U.S. intelligence find valuable information buried in zillions of hours of video surveillance tape? How about take a lesson from the producers of The Jersey Shore? And what makes a great audiobook? Some excellent examples from the winners of the 2012 Audi Awards. But first, an olive branch broken. Nearly 70% of food on America's supermarket shelves contain genetically modified ingredients. In Europe, only 5% of commercial food is GM, and that number is shrinking still due to an active, vocal opposition. The Genetic Rights Foundation, a Rome-based NGO, recently claimed victory in the fight against modified crops. The GRF urged the Italian government to destroy a grove of transgenic olive and cherry trees and kiwi vines that were part of a 30-year publicly funded research project. The government quickly complied despite appeals from researchers. Lee Phillips has been covering the story, a science reporter for Nature, and he's on the line from London. Lee, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, thanks a lot.
Give us a little bit of history on this long-running project, begun in 1982.
That's right. Well, so Edo Regini, a plant scientist with the University of Tushia, originally launched his research in this area in 1982, and his aim was to try and find a number of different varieties that were resistant to pathogens, mainly fungi and bacteria. So it's actually to reduce pesticide use and also to produce shorter trees that would ease cultivation in certain Italian landscapes. He finally got permission to grow the trees in 1998. But then in 2002, Italy banned all field research of genetically engineered plants. However, as he was already growing the trees, he managed to get an extension for his work until 2008. But then in 2010, a second extension to 2014 was denied by the regional authorities.
So while the Genetic Rights Foundation is, let's say, at least on its website, crediting itself for exposing the existence of this grove, it is Italian law that actually took the grove down.
Well, it is, but at the same time, Regini and his colleagues at the university, this publicly funded university, never actually received any order to destroy the trees. Until the 12th of June, and the formal definitive refusal to extend the deadline was only communicated on the 1st of June. So basically, we had on the 18th of May this year, the Genetic Rights Foundation announced that they had exposed the existence of this field of experimental GM trees. But it was literally only days that Regini, I think he's 60, 65 years old, you know, he's been working on this his whole, for 30 years. Much of his career has been about this. He basically only had days to try to organize any sort of efforts to try and stop them from cutting his trees down. He and a number of other academics, not all scientists, a number of other academics from humanities and students, organized a petition online to try to stop the uprooting of these the destruction of these trees, but they weren't successful. And then finally, last week, the diggers moved in. I was quite struck by the tale of this old man seeing his olive trees being destroyed by diggers and bulldozers, helpless at the loss of his life's work. And I thought, how many times have we seen this in, say, Palestine?
Mm-hmm.
But this time, it wasn't a sad tale from the Middle East. But in this case, it was a sad tale about publicly funded research in Europe.
It is. There's a photograph, in fact, along with your article. And, of course, we have a link to the article at wordofmouthradio.org. He just looks, slumped over watching this. It's so sad. But, given the attitude towards GM foods in Europe, Regini must have known that it was a possibility.
Well, the thing is that there is a debate in Europe at the moment, and it's not the case that everybody feels this way. And I think, if anything, the debate is beginning to sort of open up. There, where You know, a number of green groups have two sort of arguments. One of the arguments against GM is sort of their concerns about the business practices of multinational agribusiness firms like Monsanto, Cargill, BASF, Bayer, these sorts of biotech firms as well, which may or, you know, may be quite legitimate in terms of concerns about monoculture and patents and intellectual property and so on. But they haven't been able to separate their concerns about criticism of one or another couple of major companies and their business practices and the science itself. And if you look at this, this is publicly funded research. The aim is to reduce pesticide use. The man is an environmentalist, you could say, himself. In many cases, the inability of public research bodies to go off and do research in GM that isn't tainted by, say, the profit motive that these green groups are concerned about, they're restricted on doing this because of the enormous security that they have to pay for. In the face of all this opposition, security costs that, of course, only the major multinational corporations are able to fund. So they're actually, I think, some of the green groups are really shooting themselves in the foot here if their target is the bad practices of these major multinationals.
Well, their claim, of course, the GRF is saying that, you know, cherry trees on the site were found to be in full blossom when the field was visited. No protection in place to prevent pollen dispersion. Of course, the fear is that GM material from the site will get into the larger ecosystem. We have to wrap up soon, but I'm just wondering if there's any real evidence of that happening.
No, there's no evidence at all, and they were really misinformed about this. I just want to say one quick thing about about Ruggini. You know, with no evidence of this, when the drivers came to mow things down, they apologized to him and his fellow students. You know, the students and academics, they came out to the field in solidarity with him. And they said, you know, maybe you should go and work somewhere else. He'd had offers from the U.S. and Australia where things were a bit freer in terms of this stuff. And he said, no, today I'm too tired.
You know, it is often framed as this big business stomping on the little guy. This is a very different story that we're getting.
Absolutely.
But I'm wondering, you know, scientists and academics campaigned in favor of this 30-year publicly funded project. Any danger here, Lee, or what gets lost when the longest-running transgenic project is taken apart? Could we learn something from a project like this?
Of course we can. As I said before, I mean, one of the things that Ruggini was looking into was aimed at finding varieties that are more resistant to pathogens. So if we are more successful in this front, we'll be able to reduce the pesticide use, which surely the environmental groups are in favor of, right?
Right. A lot more on this story. Lee Phillips, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Lee Phillips, a science reporter for Nature. Now, there is a link to his article on the destruction of the GM olive tree project. And there's much more. Also, there's an upcoming referendum on GM labeling on the California ballot in November. Now, that would be the first state to regulate and require labeling of GMO foods on supermarket foods. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.